wrestling fans, are you ready?
Yes, 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 yes.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, let's get ready to rumble!
And now, please welcome at this time your hosts, Graham GSM Matthews and RJ Marceau. You're listening to the next era of wrestling radio. This is Wrestle Rant Radio.
Back in the WrestleMania week edition of Wrestle Rant Radio here today, days out from WrestleMania 40 weekend. An annual tradition here on the show as we break down both nights of Mania, and it makes my job a whole lot easier now knowing as of Monday's Raw which matches are happening which night. Lots to get into here today, extremely excited for that. But before that, Mr. Marceau, first of all, how you doing? Are you excited for WrestleMania this weekend?
Can't wait. I'm so excited.
I was excited to see you this past weekend. We were at the Becky Lynch signing. We discussed it already on Twitter and on, you know, texting and whatever. That was great. That was kind of like the prelude to WrestleMania weekend, so I'm sure I'll see you again soon. But this was so funny because we would have had a lot more to chat about had this happened before I had seen you, but I guess it worked so well because we could talk about it today. We're going to spend pretty much the entire time before I got to get going talking about WrestleMania, but I do got to get your quick thoughts on the bombshell that dropped on Monday from CM Punk and the Ariel Helwani MMA Hour show. I was looking forward to the interview regardless, and I knew Ariel wouldn't pull any punches because that's just typically how he is with his interviews. He's pretty insistent on asking questions after question, and that's just, you know, that's what he does. That's his style. And Punk, to his credit, answered pretty much everything, obviously aside from the NDA stuff and Brawl Out, but he talked a lot about his AEW run, said more about Tony Khan than I thought he would, said some pretty critical things there that we can dissect, as well as coming back to WWE, how it happened, and even Vince. He even asked about Vince and had some pretty interesting things to say there as well. You texted me about it twice. What were your top takeaways from the podcast, and how did you enjoy it, or what did you think about it?
I thought it was good. I mean, I feel like it was fun. It was good to hear Punk's side. Like I said, I've never been a Punk guy, so it's not like I'm really picking sides before going in, but, I mean, seems like he thought he was brought in for one reason, and didn't seem like that was kind of the reason they brought him in. Kind of outlined everything we were reported, told his side, which we hadn't really heard yet. Kind of confirmed that Tony Khan's just a mark with a ton of money. And it was just very interesting to finally hear like the other side of it and not like the whole like whisper campaign from the other side. So I enjoyed it. I felt like it gave his side. I feel like I don't know why he would lie about it. Sounds pretty close to what they've already been reporting and kind of just firmed up a couple of details, but makes sense, and I can understand why he was kind of ready to get out of there.
Yeah, and of course, there's two sides to every story. I don't think we'll ever hear, I mean, we might actually, I guess we'll find out, but I don't think we'll ever hear the full story from Tony Khan's standpoint. I mean, again, there's two sides to every story. The truth usually lies somewhere in the middle. I tend to believe a lot of what he was saying. I don't know if he was lying about anything per se. He might have been omitting details. And the fact he didn't really show more, I don't know if remorse is the right word, but any, you know, shame or whatever, I guess, might be even a worse word to use. Towards the whole press conference thing a couple years ago, I mean, he kind of talked about why he was feeling that way, how it got started, and all that other sort of stuff. A lot of what we already knew, but hearing it from him, out of his lips, to the entire world to hear, was not encouraging, but it was nice to hear his side of the story, like you said. I completely agree. And him kind of clear the air on a few misconceptions as far as some of the stories go. Again, I don't expect Tony Khan to respond in any way, but he is a pretty, you know, he's the type of person that's like, listen, if I get fired up about something and if I'm really pissed off about what someone said about me or some lies that are being spread or whatever, he typically responds pretty quickly in every forum but where he should. Like, he typically responds on Twitter, as opposed to just logging off for the day and forgetting about it. He can respond to certain things, but, like, making a comment out of nowhere last week to Eric Bischoff, who has said a lot of dumb things in his, you know, own, in his own defense or credit or whatever, to Tony Khan. Eric Bischoff said a lot of dumb things too, but it just kind of make a comment out of nowhere saying like, "Oh, I'm glad your podcast closed," started up a whole shitstorm between those two as well. Just fucking embarrassing. And I mean, he didn't say anything here. It was all Punk, and Punk was obviously asked about it, and he answered it. But I think my top takeaway was the same thing that yours was, where he called it not a real business. Now, some things don't line up as far as, because you said he was brought in for one thing he thought, but he was actually brought in for another. I mean, Tony Khan's the one making decisions over there. Why do you think, where do you think the Elite went wrong with Punk? Because they seemed pretty enamored with the idea of bringing him in many, many years ago, and he seemed cool with them at least at one point, late 2018, early 2019. We don't know these people as people, like, we don't know them personally, but it seemed like they really wanted him back then. He wasn't interested. You know, the whole Cody text thing we've heard about, obviously, a million times. But not only that, but it seemed like they wanted him, and then they got him, and then it seemed like he said that they never wanted him there to begin with. So where do you think the misconception there kind of lies?
Yeah, maybe I think it's, I mean, similar with Cody. I mean, we guess we'll never figure out why Cody left, because he's like, "Oh, I'm never going to say why." But I don't know, maybe it's just a total different thought on the business. Like, it seemed like, even though Cody was friendly with them and started the company, I feel like he had a total different outlook on what he thought the business should be or how they should be running it. And I feel like Punk's mindset is kind of old school territory, similar mindset with Cody on booking and the business and just kind of how to treat it. So I feel like, like I said, maybe they were open to work with him, and then just their thoughts on the business or how it should be portrayed kind of crossroads from there. And they just never really got along because, I mean, that's what it seemed like, at least.
Yeah, it seemed like Tony Khan really wanted him there, and he was obviously a big CM Punk fan. He wanted him from the get-go, but he just wasn't really a boss when he needed to be a boss. That was kind of what it came down to. And him telling him that he quit right it all in, there was a lot of speculation. Oh, did Punk know when he went out there for that match with Samoa Joe that that would be his final match with the company? And he clearly did, the way that he acted and everything else. I mean, I got to go back and watch in retrospect. I mean, the way he handled it was not ideal. He kind of shrugged it off as, "Oh, you just got to choke some people sometimes." It's like, well, that's not exactly how you conduct yourself. But the whole thing with Jungle Boy was interesting. And, you know, how there's no NDA in place for that. Like, we haven't heard anyone talk about that. Joe has alluded to it, but he's not going to really give the full details, because why would he? He gains nothing from that. But, you know, he quit. They gave him his release, but they also said that they fired him with cause. They never really got down to why they would say that, other than just to save face on AEW's part. And again, we'll probably find out from that camp at some point what really happened. But it's a really interesting story as far as a lot of the stuff he discussed. It's well worth the watch. It's almost 2 hours in length, but it's worth every minute. I was fascinated the entire time. It was not exactly a great day for AEW on Monday, and I'll mention this quickly as well before we get to the predictions for Mania. But on that exact same day during Raw, the cuts were made earlier in the day, but they came out via Fightful while Raw was airing. They cut 10 talents from their roster. Now, the people they were cutting, you never want to see anyone out of a job. I always preface this stuff by saying that, obviously. I'm not saying they should fire this person, that person, whatever. But I think the top takeaway here is not really anyone in particular they let go. Slim J from Ring of Honor, who really cares, you know, in the grand scheme of things. Dasha was a little surprising because she was all over Collision as the announcer, so that was kind of surprising. But, you know, her, Stu Grayson was among that list, Anthony Henry of the Work Horseman. Not a lot of shocking departures. But what was really surprising about it was that in the past, Tony Khan hasn't really let go of anyone. And if it was, it was someone like a Jimmy Havoc, and, you know, who had issues and they had to let go of them early. Everyone else they have not let go of. They have not really released anyone. Typically, he allows them to be there until the end of their contract, and he just doesn't renew it. But now he's just outright cutting people, and PW Insider is saying that AEW's reasoning for this is to kind of make, you know, evaluate their roster, see who they're using and stuff like that. That's pretty different from what Tony Khan said a couple years ago about having people see through the end of their contract, which that was kind of an interesting approach. I mean, again, firing people is part of any, obviously, corporate company, and it sucks. But his change of approach on certain things in the last couple of years has been interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think if you're in a business trying to make money at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like I've said this for WWE, and people, I don't know, just always get upset. Like, obviously, you don't want to see anyone out of a job, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's a business, and some people just don't understand that. Like, I think Dasha definitely was surprised. I feel like they've used her a ton lately. the other people. Like you said, I feel like we're pretty expendable. It's kind of like the old phrase, if you got rid of these 10 people, are the people going to set the seats on fire? Probably not. I mean, I haven't really heard much of besides Dasha and Stu Grayson, who just came back. I mean, I didn't know any of these other people. So, well, actually, Jose, the assistant as well, I knew him.
Yeah.
So, but besides, like I said, getting rid of these 10 people, it's not like it's going to hurt business for them. Not like people are going to riot. So, I mean, not the biggest deal. I feel like people always get, like, butthurt about it. And, like, especially with WWE, like, why would they get rid of them? I mean, so at the end of the day, it's a business. They're not using them or don't see, like, that they're going to be contributing, then why hold on to them? So maybe it's a start in the right direction. But like you said, I feel like he was so dead set on I would never release anyone. And then now it seems like that's the direction they're going in, which, like I said, if you're running a business and trying to make money, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, just probably just the stupid thing to say in the first place if you're not going to honor what you said originally. I mean, like you said, I think it's actually more commendable what AEW has done in the past and letting people have them, keeping them until their contract is run out. At least it's not much of a surprise. All right, my contract's coming due. They haven't used me in fucking 6 months. They're probably not going to renew it. All right, and then you can have a conversation about it. But just letting people go out of nowhere. I mean, WWE's done that forever, obviously. That's really no surprise. I'm not really a fan of that, because then at that point, what's the point of the contract? Why are you signing for 3 years if at the end of the day, the boss holds all the power? I mean, that's, again, a corporate issue.
I mean, that's
but
any job you have.
It is. It is. Yeah, no,
also,
no.
Also, like, they haven't been making, like, they haven't actually turned a profit yet, so holding on to these people isn't helping them.
No, I agree, but I guess my bigger issue is not only going back in what he said originally, but two, signing some of these people in the first place. Again, giving people jobs and stuff is great, obviously, in any corporate environment, obviously. But, like, did he really need to sign? I mean, Slim J came out and said that he had two contracts. Like, why the fuck did he have two contracts for both companies?
The Stu Grayson one I never understood, but
that one didn't,
like, why
make
did
much
they bring
sense
him back? To do nothing.
To do nothing. He was involved in some righteous feud of the Dark Order, lost that. That was last summer. We haven't seen him since, and he, I don't know if he got hurt. I don't know. Because it was also said in the report, oh, they want to open up these people for other opportunities because they can go get booked elsewhere. I mean, Anthony Henry went on Twitter and was like, no, I mean, I'm fucking, or no, Slim J said he was broke as fuck and he was like really upset that he got fired. Anthony Henry, too, he said he was devastated by it. So maybe that was the case with some of them saying, hey, listen, we don't really want to be here if you have nothing for us. Clearly not all of them, though. I mean, so I don't know what went wrong there. The Dasha thing was very surprising. I'm not even like the biggest fan of her work, but considering she was the go-to ring announcer for Collision, unless they're bringing someone else in or just having Justin Roberts do both, that was definitely weird. So, again, the releases itself isn't really shocking. Like, WWE let go of a whole bunch of people 6 months ago. We talked about it then. A lot of those people, they weren't doing shit with it. It made sense. But then just don't sign these people for fucking three-year deals. I know that's probably part of the process. But or don't bring them in the first place. We've talked about for years now. Why would you sign someone like, was it really necessary to sign Tony Nese, for example? Good wrestler, quality talent. Doesn't really add anything to the roster at all, and then he's going to get cut, and people are going to be like, oh, well, you fired him before his deal's over. Well, they shouldn't have really signed him to a five-year deal in the first place. That's part of the problem. So it'll be interesting to see if more releases are to follow. I would think if he did it once, he'll probably do it again. But time will tell on that front. But let's get to what we came here to talk about. WrestleMania 40 on Saturday 1st, night 1. Like I said, they announced the entire card. It seems like the entire card's complete, which is great. No pre-show matches as of right now. They're having a two-hour kickoff on both nights. I don't know why. CM Punk will be in the pre-show, Pat McAfee, and a few other people, Big E as well, which is cool. But they're doing 7 matches night 1, 6 matches night 2. I think they kind of nailed which matches are happening which nights. Night 2 is very SmackDown heavy, very SmackDown heavy. Like, almost 5 of the 6 matches are all SmackDown matches. Roman and Cody can be a Raw match, but that's a SmackDown title, so kind of funny. But we'll start with night 1 here. We'll go with the newly announced tag team match, the LWO's Rey Mysterio and the newly announced member of LWO, Dragon Lee, taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Now, I was hoping for Rey and Santos one-on-one, but clearly we're getting a tag team match instead. It gets Dominic in a match on the show, Dragon Lee's getting the spotlight. Why he wouldn't just pick Carlito, I don't know, but it's a cool spotlight for Dragon Lee. Rey just lost to Santos on SmackDown. I mean, that was kind of what was more important to me. This match means more because it's a Mania, but I do think Rey and Dragon Lee go over here, and they kind of win the feud for the LWO. But who do you think goes over?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one. Like you said, I also was pretty stunned that Carlito wasn't picked instead of Dragon Lee. I had a feeling or thought that, like, maybe Carlito gets upset by that, helps Santos and Dirty Dom win. But like I said, with Ray just losing to Escobar, kind of make more sense for Ray and Dragon Lee to win. Kind of help, especially with the WrestleMania audience, like kind of push Dragon Lee in that position of being like the next top luchador, which Ray's been high praise on him. I like it that Santos gets in the car and staying with Dom. I mean, Dom's been doing great work. It'd be a shame to keep him off the show. Kind of continue that tension with Judgment Day. Obviously, saw on Raw, they were kind of upset with Legado there. But I think at the end of the day, Ray and Dragon Lee go over. Like I said, hopefully kind of cement Dragon Lee as the next, like, masked luchador and get him in front of a huge crowd.
Yeah, no, it's a big rub for him. Carlito's had Mania matches before. Would have been cool to see him in that spot. But Dragon Lee is the future of Lucha Libre for this company, I think, if they can push him properly. He was getting a nice push there for a while, and then they cooled off, and now he's back to being on SmackDown consistently, which is pretty cool. So I have them going over as well. Another match made official as of Friday's SmackDown, 6-woman tag team action. Kind of a SmackDown match, but it should be a fun spectacle if nothing else. Bianca Belair teaming with Jade Cargill and Naomi against Damage Control's Dakota Kai and the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Kabuki Warriors. So, a couple things here. I guess this would confirm Asuka's not her, because there was a fear a few weeks ago that she was hurt. Clearly not. Or if she is, then they're limiting her in this match. Two, I don't really care that the tag titles aren't being defended. We had a Damage Control 6-woman tag last year. Kyrie obviously wasn't in there. It was Bayley. But the tag titles are not being defended. Who gives a shit? That's fine with me. And then three, I mean, again, like I said, it's a SmackDown match. We kind of talked about it ourselves last week when I saw you. This could have very easily been Bianca and Jade challenging for the tag titles. Naomi doesn't really need to be in there, but you know, like you said, maybe they promised her a Mania match when she came back. I don't know. I mean, but then again, she's in the match and Andrade's not on this card. So it's not like everyone that came back there's like, hey, we're going to get you on Mania. Andrade's in the fucking, ironically enough, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, considering that JR was calling him Andre for the longest time in WWE or in AEW. That's pretty funny. But anyway, so I think it should be a solid match and a nice showcase for Jade. I could see this one probably going to the baby faces. That would probably make the most sense. So your thoughts on the match being made and who you got going over?
I mean, I think the baby faces go over. Just, I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't. I mean, the match itself, I mean, I feel it's pretty cut and paste from last year. Mm-hmm. To me, I think Belair and Stratton and then Jade and Nia would have made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we're getting. Like I said, I like Naomi. Didn't really think she had to be in this match. I like Bianca. I feel like Jade as well. I feel like putting them in like a bigger match would have meant a lot more. But I guess this is what they want to go with. Like I said, I don't know. They were like kind of teasing like it was going to be Stratton and Belair, and then
yeah,
they kind of moved away from it, and we haven't really seen Stratton since. So maybe that was kind of the direction they were going in, and it changed. But I think Jade versus Nia would have made more sense. Just Jade could not have like a great in-ring match, but you know, hit it with the slam, everyone goes crazy, and then Belair and Stratton could kind of have like a really good match, not over a title, and kind of get more spotlight on them. So this is what we're getting, but I think the babyface to go over.
So they have a lot of women on SmackDown. I think it's pretty telling that Jade went to SmackDown too. Do you think they're doing this match to tease something like a long-term story with Bianca? As far as, like, that's why they're doing this? Because I think Jade and Nia would have been the way to go, too. But do you think this is because they're doing something long-term with Jade and Bianca, starting out as partners and then later feuding, maybe in time for SummerSlam?
I guess. I don't know. I just, like you said, I feel like the SmackDown Women's Division is kind of, they have a ton of women now.
Yeah.
And like you said, especially with Braun going to SmackDown and Jade, it's like, they just got everyone. Like, what did Raw get out of it? It seems like there's, like, they, I guess, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I like Jade. Her going to SmackDown was kind of, like I said, I thought we were going to get her, Tiffany, and Bianca instead, and seemingly we're going getting her and Jade. Mm-hmm. But maybe they can flip Tiffany to Raw, because Raw needs more people. I mean, besides Becky, I mean, I guess Rhea, Becky, Naomi, and what's her name? Nia Jax. I mean, Liv Morgan's there, but besides that, it's just a bunch of women that just aren't over, so we'll see, but SmackDown, I feel like, as a whole, is just a lot more well-rounded.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that we're getting the match, but I am a little surprised that they went with this, considering what they could have done instead, which is what you said as well, so.
I mean, the draft coming up might come up sooner rather than later, too, so they can kind of reshuffle everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
But, like I said, they, I don't know, they got Bayley, Io, Jade, Bianca, Tiffany, Asuka, Kyrie, Dakota, Naomi, like, they have a ton of women.
Yeah, you could throw Charlotte in there too, but she's hurt.
So, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, they have a pretty stacked division. I'm sure that changes after WrestleMania, because Raw definitely needs some more depth in that division right now. Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso going one-on-one. I would say this would have kicked off the show, but Rhea and Becky's probably opening the event, so no longer. But I am looking forward to the match, though. Who do you think goes over in the Battle of the Brothers? Because I know we've said Jey, but I think there's a decent chance, I hate to say it, that Jimmy goes over to extend the feud a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the same thing. I mean, I want Jey to win. I mean, I don't think the feud needs to continue. If I was a betting man, I'd say Jimmy's going to win. I don't want him to win, but I don't know. I just have a gut feeling he's going to. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I guess that we're going to continue the feud. I'm not sure exactly why, but I'll pick Jimmy. I want Jey to win, but I don't know. I feel like with all those brother-on-brother matches, usually the heel wins. Or the less important brother wins the first match, and then we continue it. So, I mean, Owen beat Brett, Matt beat Jeff. I mean, I guess we're getting Jimmy beat Jey, unfortunately.
I think Jimmy's winning, too. I just get that gut feeling that we haven't seen the last of this feud in these two against each other. Listen, I know it's going to extend the feud, and the idea is, well, Jey will win eventually anyway. Yeah, but I don't really care to see the feud continue. This has been going on for so long now. I know they recently rekindled it because they were apart on two different brands, but I'm good. Just have Jey win and move on, but I assume Jimmy's going to win this one. The six-pack challenge for the ladder match, the NXT WWE Tag Team titles, they have officially confirmed all the teams participating, with Judgment Day defending against DIY, The Awesome Truth, The New Day, A-Town Down Under, Theory and Grayson Waller, and New Catch Republic. It's a lot of teams in one match, sponsored by Home Depot, I would think, like you made the joke. I completely agree on that. That would be fitting. You know, there's this talk that they might split the tag titles, so if you had to pick one team to go over, who would that be? But if they split the tag titles and two different teams grab both sets of belts, who do you think becomes the Raw Tag Team Champions and who becomes the SmackDown Tag Team Champions?
I don't think that one team's going to win, so picking it would be tough. I just don't think one team's going to win, so mm-hmm. I think it's one team from each show will grab one. I think Awesome Truth for Raw and A-Town Down Under for SmackDown.
Yeah, I think Theory and Waller are winning those SmackDown tag titles. I got Awesome Truth for Raw, too. Ideally, I would have DIY become champs, but they probably don't want to have two babyface teams win. I know they're both on Raw, but that could change in the draft, whatever. So I agree. I think it's going to be Truth and Theory and Waller as well. Intercontinental Championship, Gunther defending against Sami Zayn. They're telling the Rocky story here with these two. If you saw the Chad Gable vignette with Sami on Monday's Raw, this should be a great match. I still do not want Sami Zayn to win. I love Sami. Sami's amazing, but I just don't think he's the guy to beat Gunther, and I'm starting to think he is going to beat Gunther based on the story they told him leading into the pay-per-view. So I'm thinking Sami Zayn, new Intercontinental Champion. What are you thinking?
See, I don't. I think Gunther's still going to beat him.
Okay.
I think it's like a nice, like, swerve to think that he's going to win, but I think Gunther retains. I know. I like Sami a lot. I agree with you. Honestly, at the end of the day, I don't think he should be the one to beat Gunther. I think they're kind of built. I feel like they've done this recently, like, build it up, and then they don't actually win. So I'm going to go Gunther. I like Sami, but I think Gunther should beat him.
No, I think he should beat him, too. I would be pleasantly surprised if that's the case, just because, you know, Gunther has been champion for long enough, but I just don't think Sami Zayn's the guy to do the job. You know, not do the job, but like be the one to beat him for the belt. So we'll see. Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Another one that could very well go either way. I could see Rhea retaining. Yeah, she's been champion for a year, but guess what? Bianca was champion for a year, too, last year, going into last year, and she retained, too, surprisingly. So I could see Rhea retaining here. She's obviously the hot hand right now. Becky's on a roll. I think the match will be great. I'm thinking Becky's becoming champion. I would prefer Rhea win, honestly, if only, not because I think Rhea's having this amazing run. She really hasn't had a lot of memorable matches as champion. I want to see her retain just so she can lose it to Liv Morgan, because I feel like that's where really the story is with Rhea Ripley losing that championship. But if it's Becky, that's no issue either. She hasn't been champion in 2 years, or at least on the main roster anyway. So I think Becky Lynch becomes the new Women's World Champion. But what say you? We got Rhea Ripley or Becky Lynch going over?
I got Becky as well. Like you said, I like Rhea a lot. I feel like the feud itself, her reign's just kind of been eh. I mean, I haven't really loved Rhea's reign. But I think, like you said, at the end of the day, Becky wins. You could do Liv. I mean, you could even have, like, Ripley and Liv somewhere down the line, doing mm-hmm. number one contenders to face Becky, and then Liv beats Rhea there. Then she kind of avenges all the issues that she had with Becky as well before Mania. So I'm going to go with Becky. I wouldn't, like, be upset if Rhea won, because, like I said, I think then that would lead to her and Liv being the one to take the belt off her. But I don't know. I like Rhea, but I think it's... The Judgment Day is going to see some cracks, and I feel like Rhea needs to lose the belt to continue that.
Okay, so you got all of Judgment Day losing on night one, and including all of their championships.
Correct.
I think so, too. We get to the main event, the Bloodline, Rock, and Roman Reigns, the real main event of the weekend. I mean, I'm looking forward to Roman and Cody, obviously, but this kind of feels like the main attraction of WrestleMania weekend. But the Bloodline battling Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, and the babyfaces win. No interference, no one at ringside on Sunday. If the Bloodline win, it's Bloodline rules on Sunday night's main event. Now, if it's anything like what we got on Raw, it's basically just a fucking no disqualification match. That was kind of lame. But I think that's what's going to happen here. I think that's the best case scenario as far as where they go with this and doing what they do on night two, which we'll get to, obviously, in a moment. But I think Bloodline got to win here. I think, I don't want more heel Bloodline victories. But I think you got to sit through one more to set up what should be a big moment in night two. So I think the Bloodline are going to go over and set up Bloodline rules on Sunday. Do you agree, or do you think Cody and Seth kind of surprise people and go over here?
Bloodline win, LOL, baby. I mean, just the way the story's going, like you said, I think Sunday night we're going to have shenanigans galore. So I'm going with Bloodline rules, rocking Roman win. To lead to, like I said, shenanigans galore on Sunday night.
Yeah, during night two. I think that's the way to go, so we'll get to that in a moment. We head into night two, speaking of which, six matches advertised for this card. I think the World Heavyweight Championship match is opening, but we'll save that for second to last. Let's see here. The Pride, as they're being labeled here on Wikipedia, I don't know if that's what they're going for, what they're going as in WWE, actually, because I don't know if they've actually called them that. But Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford, the Street Profits, battling the Final Testaments, Karrion Kross, and Authors of Pain. It's going to be a six-man Philadelphia street fight, which gives me hope this could be given some time. Because when they announced that for the card, first of all, I like that it's on the card. Good for Bobby for getting back on the card. Good for Karrion for getting on the card for the first time. I'm glad they're doing the match because it gets them on the show. But second of all, when I saw the stipulation, it gave me hope that they'll actually be given some time. Because this could go the way without the stipulation. It probably still could be 5 minutes. Don't get me wrong. But, like, when they announced the match, I'm thinking, fuck. Like, it's going to be Core versus Big Show, Kane, or whatever that match was. And then Kofi and Santino at WrestleMania 27, where it was this throwaway 8-man tag team match to get people on the show when all of 60 seconds. That was just stupid. And I hope this is not the same thing. I think this is going to be a little bit better, a little bit different. But who do you got going over in this one?
I feel like this is going to be an interesting one. Like I said, I'm kind of glad. I'm not the biggest fan, but like I feel like they built it up so much on SmackDown that it deserves to be on the show. So I'm leaning Bobby's group. I feel like they've lost. They've been beat up by the Final Testament a lot, and they really haven't got the upper hand. So I'd give it to them. I mean... I'll go with Bobby's group. I'm not sure what exactly what they're calling them.
Yeah, I think the Pride is what they're calling them. Yeah, no, I agree. I think Bobby and the Prophets go over. That's the end of the feud. It's been going on long enough. So I would love to see Karrion pick up a win at WrestleMania, but I do think this is a tailor-made for a win for the babyface crew. LA Knight and AJ Styles, no stipulation in this one. I just realized that they have a street fight and the Bloodline rules likely, you know, if we get what we're... expecting in the main event, then that's two street fights on the same show. So we're not getting one here with Knight and Styles, although it would make sense given the context of the feud. You know, this one, again, it can go either way. I'm going to surprise you and say AJ Styles. I think AJ is going to come out on top here. I think Knight needs the win more. He's been losing a lot on pay-per-view. But I do think Logan Paul goes over. Not Logan Paul. I do think AJ goes... I'm looking at the next matcher. I do think AJ goes over and maybe extends the feud. They set up a rematch or whatever. I think Knight should win, though. But I think AJ, I don't know, it feels like, oh, he's been waiting to get his hands on AJ, and then he loses or something. So, do you think Knight goes over, gets his revenge, or does AJ Styles emerge victorious?
I'm kind of with you on this one. I feel like this seems like a slam dunk LA Knight win, but I just have, like, a gut feeling AJ wins. I don't know, it's like one of those Mania matches that you're like, oh, you know, I think LA Knight should win, and then we're going to say, yep, that's what we're going to go with, and then AJ gets the win. I can't think of, like, a match on the top of my head, but I feel like that's happened a few times. They're like, it's two guys, like you said, they're kind of both in the same kind of level. I mean, LA Knight's obviously more popular. AJ's kind of with this new heel run. I'll say AJ as well. Like I said, I want LA Knight to win, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that's going to be AJ.
To me, the equivalent would be, interestingly enough, AJ Styles against Chris Jericho for Mania 32. And that was a little bit different because AJ was new on the scene, but he lost to Jericho clean on that show. I was like, what the fuck? Why would they have him lose? Like, that made no sense. I thought at the time, and it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense in retrospect. And I don't think AJ winning here would make a whole lot of sense. It's a great win for AJ. AJ's great, obviously, but Knight needs the wins more. He's not as established, obviously, but I think AJ wins. He did say in an interview, he confirmed that he is getting new music. I would pop big if he had that TNA song that he had as the Lone Wolf, the Evil Ways song, but it's probably going to be some Def Rebel bullshit. I wouldn't be shocked. Well, that would be cool. I wasn't thinking that one, but yeah, that would, imagine if he came out to Get Ready to Fly. It does not fit his character in the slightest, but...
Get ready to accelerate.
prepare to accelerate, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. The
marginal one, CJ Miles.
Oh, I'm going to go nuts.
Wait, that's Dixie Carter.
Oh, Jesus. No, thank you on that one.
She can manage him in WWE. Why not?
Oh, Jesus. Claire Lynch going to come out, too?
Keep that shit in the TNA trash bin with this stench on it. United States Championship, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. I think I gave away my prediction by accident before. I got Logan Paul retaining, actually. I think Logan Paul's going to escape with the title. And I think he should. I still think he should lose it tonight. I don't know how likely that is at this point. Orton and Owens do not need it. They've held the championship before. They don't need this win. I think Logan Paul is going to retain, but what about you?
I think Logan Paul as well. I feel like you said he can, like, escape, like, the sneaky heel. Owens, and he, like, just somehow, like, just gets an upper, like, just gets, a quick one on either Orton or Owens, who are just, like, still are on the same, like, who won't be on the same page for some reason. And like I said, Paul gets a quick one. And then, like I said, I don't think Owens or Orton really need the title. Similar to your thought, I think LA Knight should be the one to win the belt. So I'm going Logan Paul.
All right. WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky and Bayley. I know Bayley was upset they weren't main eventing. I mean, do you see who's on the card? I love Bayley. I'm looking forward to the match. There was absolutely no chance they were headlining this show. I mean, maybe in another universe, another year where they didn't have as many big-time matches for the World Championships and The Rock coming back. Even if Punk was here, she still wouldn't have not a main event. And it sucks. I think the women should main event one night and the men main event the other, but the other matches are just bigger attractions. So we are getting Io and Bayley in night two for the women's title. You know, I've been thinking Io was going to retain, but I just said Knight's going to lose. I said Logan Paul was going to win. I'm going to go Bayley winning the championship, especially with the World Heavyweight title. We'll, you know, talk about that in a second, but I think this is got to be a Bayley win. Not doesn't have to be, but I do think Bayley will and should win the championship. What say you?
Wait, you thought Io was going to win?
I did, actually. I did think for a little while Io might win, just because they might, just to extend it. Like the same thing with Knight and Styles. I think Styles is going to win, but now I'm convinced Io's losing.
I don't know. I just feel like Bayley winning was like kind of like her moment at Mania. I mean, I feel like she really hasn't had that yet, so... Yeah. I honestly thought this was probably one of the most predictable ones. I was going to say Bayley LOL, but
interesting.
Now that you're saying that, it kind of got in my head. But I'm going to go with Bayley. I like Io a lot, but I think it's, like I said, I think it's Bayley's moment to kind of get her WrestleMania moment, so it makes sense for her to win here. I mean, her, like I said, could do Asuka like last year and win it down the line, but it's just, people don't remember, like, the moment's at Mania, so I think she should win here.
No, she's won a Mania before, but never has had her, you know, moment. Io Sky's never won a WrestleMania either, but, I mean, Bayley's won a WrestleMania, hasn't had a moment. Io's never won a WrestleMania, but listen, she'll have more moments. She's amazing, and Bayley's never really had that moment, and she's the breakout babyface right now, so I think Bayley's got to go over. World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. Man, this is a tough one, which is why I'm going to throw it to you first. Drew and Rollins, what happens for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Okay, throw it to me first. Kind of assume that, but God, I hate this kid. I fucking hate when you do this.
I'm gonna do it next time too. So.
Oh Jesus, I'm going with Drew.
Drew, okay. I mean, listen, they want Drew.
I think Drew should win. I'm hoping no fucking Damian Priest foolishness. Get no thank you. Hope just Drew wins the belt. We move on. But yeah, I don't know. I like Rollins. I mean, Rollins is one of my favorite, but I think it's time for him to lose the belt, mm-hmm. give it to Drew, and let's see what Drew can do. Especially with the Clash of the Castle being announced in Scotland.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Kind of makes sense for Drew, so I'm going to go with Drew.
I think Drew winning is best case scenario. He is my prediction. I would be content with Damian winning the belt. I mean, listen, everyone talks about finishing their story. Drew's got to finish his story. Fucking give the belt. Give the guy a belt in front of a crowd, a big crowd. I mean, I guess he could do it in Clash, but by that point, I'm not sure how many people would care. Like, he's already lost to Rollins twice. He's already lost to him twice. He can't lose again. And I guess he wouldn't technically lose to him if Damian got involved. I still wouldn't do that. Damian winning would be a cool moment. I would be okay with that. One thing I would not be okay with is Rollins just straight up beating Drew, or Damian cashes in, turns into a triple threat, Mania 31 all over again, and Rollins wins by pinning Damian. That would also be a waste of the briefcase, and Drew loses. And I think we're done at the end of this run for Rollins as World Heavyweight Champion. It's time to move on. So I too have Drew going over, new World Heavyweight Champion. I prepared you for it, so you already know it's coming. Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, we're expecting a Bloodline Rules matchup. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, I am throwing it to you first. Who's going over?
Hate to disappoint the people. Roman Reigns will retain.
Kid's throwing at the one as we speak. Wow.
I have a gut feeling he's going to win again.
Dude.
It's going to be bad. People will hop the rail.
It was bad last year, too. You know that.
I just have a feeling in my stomach that Roman Reigns is going to retain again. And like I said, people will freak the fuck out. But,
you're looking at someone who would, yeah.
I don't know. It's just I have a gut feeling it's going to happen. I mean,
I do, too. That's why I hate to agree with you.
I think Cody should win. I mean, especially after last year, built everyone's... it built everyone's like confidence back up in the company.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just like they. I don't know. I just have a feeling Roman's gonna retain, and it's. I don't know. I just feel like they're like teasing so many things happening. Like you saw Drew was talking to Paul Heyman. Like Seth's kind of been a little weird, and like Jay's been posting kind of weird shit about like the Bloodline stuff. So it's like. I just have a feeling that Roman's gonna win. I don't want him to, but. I don't know. Something deep down is telling me Roman wins, LOL.
Do you think that little line from him in that A&E doc the other day about, like, oh, when I lose the championship, I'm leaving, has anything to do with the idea that he might retain?
No. I mean, I think that's kind of more of a swerve. Okay. Like, maybe, like I said, get people thinking that. I just think, like, storyline-wise, I feel like they've done things on TV that kind of hint that Roman could retain. Like, there's going to be some kind of betrayal or something. Don't want it to happen, but I guess I'm getting my hopes ready. I have my hopes ready, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm ready for the Roman retain, so unlike last year, I was like, that's so stupid. Nope, I'm
getting out of your system now, yeah.
I'm picking Roman. Sorry, Alexis.
Oh, man. Sorry to me, too. I mean, it's going to be a long ride home if that's going to be the case. I don't deny anything you just said either. That's the thing. That's why I hate about it. I'm not even disagreeing. I mean, I disagree with the decision, obviously, but... the logic is not flawed. I do think they might have him retained. I just fucking hate the idea of that happening again. First of all, two things. One, I think Cody Rhodes would look like an absolute loser. He looked like a loser last year, but man, he would be just, anyone in wrestling can be redeemed with the right booking. It's going to be hard to take him seriously after that.
You know what it is too? I have a feeling like Roman will win again. Like, I don't know. Like, Rock will screw Cody or something come down, and then they'll do Cody and Rock at SummerSlam, and then we'll get Roman and Cody again next year. I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to happen. So fucking stupid, but, like, my tummy is just telling me that.
Well, that was my next question. What do you think the end game is here? That it's Cody or going to be Rock, or who takes the belt from Roman? Do you think, honestly, honest question, do you think they might have him retain simply so they can pass the quote-unquote record of Hulk Hogan in September?
Yes, that's another thing I fear.
We're quote-unquote so close to breaking another record, which isn't really much of a record. Like, who gives a shit? like he hasn't broken enough records already. Like, it would be fine if we had no other option. It would suck. Like, listen, this is what... Like, we had Roman and Cena on top for so long because we didn't really have many other options, so we just kind of dealt with it. Roman's great. I'm not blaming Roman. It's just the idea that here's my thing. It does more damage to Cody than it does to help Roman. Roman holding the belt for another year does not help the show. Doesn't help Roman. Doesn't help the title. Doesn't really help anyone, actually. And it hasn't really helped anyone this past year either. So to kind of, I mean, I'm a baby when it comes to this shit, but I do think Cody Rhodes should have won last year. We've talked about this. I complain about it every fucking week. He should have won last year, and it has not made a lick of a difference that he lost in the sense that he could have won and it wouldn't have made any difference to Roman Reigns. I just think it does almost irreversible damage to Cody Rhodes if he loses again. He wins the Rumble twice and loses twice. I mean, what a loser. So I'm not saying it's impossible. You are very right. I'm going to go with my heart and say Cody, but my brain is saying Roman, like, be careful. But you know what? At the very least, we talked about it last week. Those near falls are going to be fucking nail biters, especially when it comes to, like, maybe interference from Messina or Stone Cold, which I'm not expecting. I don't want to sit here and say, oh, man, like, next week when we speak about it, I don't want to sit here and be like, man, that match sucked. We had no interference. Like, they never promised anything. That was just speculation. So it would be cool. Throw all your shit at the wall. Tama Tonga, throw him in there. Jacob Fatu, the rest of the bloodline. Listen, bring out Manu for God's sakes. I mean, just bring out all the NOI family. Bring out the guy that almost rioted at WrestleMania 31 when Roman Reigns lost to Brock Lesnar. Just bring them all out there. I would have a blast with it. But in all seriousness, though, I'm gonna go Cody Rhodes. I mean, listen, you already got the text sent. You got it scheduled for Sunday night, so you already know my feelings on it. But I know it's gonna be sent when Roman Reigns retains.
I feel bad for you.
I feel bad for me, too. You know what's worse?
Kid feels bad for himself already because he knows Roman's going to return.
Yeah, I guess I am admitting that I'm stupid for still saying that Cody Rhodes is going to win. I still feel dumb for saying that, even though I probably know that Roman Reigns is going to win, too. It's the old adage, the old expression, you know, happens once, shame on you. Happens twice, shame on me. I mean, shame on me. If he loses again, I picked him last year. I said the exact same thing last year. Roman could very well retain, but I got Cody. And look what happened. Fucking Roman Reigns retained. What an idiot I was. And I still am, because I'm picking Cody Rhodes again. I'm just a mark. I just not even for Cody Rhodes, just for the story to be finished so we can move the fuck on. But listen, either way, we have a lot to talk about next week here on the show when it comes to that. And the rest of this card, a lot to break down. I'm looking forward to the show. I think this could be, you know, they say it every, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. I do think it'll be a very good show. They've done a very good job of progressively making each Mania better the last couple of years. 36 was obviously COVID, but 37 was pretty good. 38 was great, and I thought 39 was even better. I thought 39 was excellent. So I think 30, or 40 rather, could be just as good. Does it feel like it's been 10 years since you went to 30 in New Orleans? Because it doesn't feel like that way for me.
All right, prick, you gotta bring that up. Make me feel old every day.
How crazy,
I mean,
is that?
Honestly, it does. It feels like it was so long ago.
Yeah. Baby Marceau back then.
Jesus. I was a little pup. I was a little puppy. I was barely an adult. I wasn't even 21 yet.
No, yeah. You weren't 21 yet? Oh, I guess not.
No, I wasn't. I was 20.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, no. It feels 10 years ago. Jesus Christ.
That's nuts. Yeah. Where does the time go?
Seriously,
now I gotta go back and I told you this before. I told you this a few years later. I think you slid into my DMs that weekend saying, hey, I'm a Mania. That was the first time you slid into my DMs, actually, was during Mania weekend 10 years ago. So I gotta go back and find that DM.
That might take you a long time, pal.
It might take me a long time. Listen, pal, I look forward to breaking down WrestleMania next week. Obviously, new episodes every Thursday. WrestleRant.com, WrestleRantRadio.com, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Podbean. Rate the show, review the show, subscribe to the show. Never miss new episodes every single Thursday. Enjoy WrestleMania weekend, pal. I'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, I'll send a text.
I'll be waiting for it, and you'll know my reaction. I don't know what GIF I'll send you back, but I will try to think of a GIF in ahead of time so my shock won't get in the way of me sending that text when I'm standing there with my fucking jaw on the ground. You might even see me on camera, we'll see.
Hey, might be a bunch of idiots again.
He told me that to my fucking face last year, which is the worst part.
Bunch of idiots, huh?
I'm going to root against them. Oh, my God. You know, actually, that reminds me. I got to stop at the Pitchfork store on my way to Philadelphia, so I got to get going. But I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right. Have safe travels, brother.
Thanks, Bill. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Later.
Join Graham, GSM Matthews, and RJ Marceau every Thursday as they run down their weekly wrestling rants, offer expert analysis, host exclusive interviews, and more.
Subscribe today on all your favorite podcast platforms and never miss an episode of Wrestle Rant Radio.